atomic batteries to power it.
Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
Come on, bark like a dog for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani sans the ever-missing David Cohen. Unfortunately, David is a little under the weather this week, so we're going to continue the show and discussion with Bernie Capel without David, and he will certainly be back with us next week and have some fun on Everything Old is New Again. By the way, if you are listening and you would like to figure out how to listen to any old shows, feel free to go to everythingoldisnewagain.biz. That's everythingoldisnewagain.biz. And there's a listing there of all our old podcasts and interviews with other radio stations and so forth. So have some fun with that. Also, I'd love if you'd go ahead and give a call to your station if you're enjoying our show and let them know. It's imperative that people listen and call and let the stations know, hey, what's going on? Do you like this show? You don't like it? What's up? What's it all about? Speaking of shows, speaking of liking, speaking of the show business, Bernie Capel, we're here with him for the second week in a row, and we'll be here next week as well. This is unreal. This gentleman has had some experience. Let's go through a little bit with you, Mr. Capel. Before we start up here, we've got you starting in with the Jack Benny program on television in 1962, 54 years ago. And then there was a My Favorite Martian and Phil Silver's show. And let's see what else. Dick Van Dyke show you were on. And, of course, Get Smart and That Girl, Green Acres. Bewitched was on for quite a time there, a number of occasions. Debbie Reynolds show. How about this one? Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp. Anybody familiar with that one? One of the 70s Saturday morning show was unreal. Then, of course, Doris Day, you were on a number of those. Night Gallery later on, the early 70s with Rod Serling. The Odd Couple in the early 70s, Bob Newhart show, Mary Tyler Moore. How about Gavin McLeod and Coal Shack? How about that one? Like, listen to that. It goes on and on. And then, of course, The Love Boat came around. That was on the heels of Bernie Capel being involved with Get Smart, if you remember that. And he was Siegfried. That was tremendous. Then the big role with The Love Boat, 1977, Dr. Adam Bricker, who was a main role. He was in every episode of The Love Boat. And during that time frame, still made appearances on, like, Charlie's Angels and Fantasy Island. It's just incredible. It goes on and on. Then the Get Smart movies, the Get Smart remakes, and he was in The Love Boat, Next Wave. It's incredible. What an absolutely wonderful, tremendous career. Recently, Bernie Capel could be seen on Hawaii Five-0. Took a trip out to Hawaii for that one. That's not so bad. And then in 2017, again, this year, Superstore. He was in the Valentine's Day episode. If you saw that one, you get a kick out of that. So, well, Bernie, thank you very much for taking some time to be with us here on Everything Old is New Again. And by the way, we know that you were in the service as well. That's something that I'm not sure everybody's familiar with or knows about, that Bernie Capel was in the Navy on the USS Iowa, correct? In the 1955 to 57, around there?
That's my ship, and my ship, my wonderful, beautiful, graceful battleship, is now permanently docked in San Pedro. And I go to it every once in a while, and that ship took me all over the world. And I'm just very grateful that this was at the peacetime Navy. And by the way, when I did the Hawaii 5-0, just about 5 weeks ago in Hawaii, I said, damn it, I'm going to go to the Arizona Memorial, because I'd avoided it, because it was just too frightening. A ship that was so similar to mine, it was a sister ship, the Arizona, They were all named after states, the New Jersey, the Arizona, the Iowa, the Missouri, the New Jersey. And I went to see it, and it was so heart-wrenching. And then we bought the book, the book on it, and it was a picture of these young guys, just as young as my son,
right,
who's now 19, on the ship, and they had no idea that they were just going to be blown to smithereens. Young guys, carefree, you know, cooking their meals in the galley. And I went to see the Arizona Memorial. I was like, oh my God, it was so, just rip you apart to see the Japanese had this concept that we will just destroy the American fleet and take their heart away.
Right.
And it just had the opposite result, where that inspired the United States to come back in an enormous way.
Absolutely.
To come back and combat the Japanese. And it's so ironic now, so many of our products are from Japan. My wife is driving a Japanese car, and its life changes. And on December 7th, if you've ever been to Waikiki on December 7th, it's like a spiritual aura overwhelms the whole place, and Japanese and Germans and Americans and people from all over the world come there, and they're almost in a trance of spirituality on December 7th.
Absolutely, the day that
life changes in many powerful ways.
Absolutely, they woke a sleeping giant, and then and the rest is history, as they say. But I did want to say that Iowa has a special place in Everything Old is New Again's heart, because we're on KXEL, and it services that state in Des Moines, Iowa, in that general area. So there's a slight connection there. And we're again, thank you for your time and your service. Back to, just for a moment, to the catchphrases before we go out. To us, this was one of the best catchphrases of all time. See if you recognize this one.
He says, chaos.
There we go. We wonder who that is.
This became, you know, whenever I sign an autograph, I'd say, Stacker, this is chaos. We don't do here. We don't here. We don't do this. So, I mean, people like that. People like that.
You know, it's funny, because that one still, to this day, if you say that for anyone that's, let's say, I don't know, 40 or over, and the show's in rerun, so the younger people know it as well, but if, let's say 45 and older, everyone is going to still remember that catchphrase. They know where exactly it came from, or what show. So that's amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, the whole thing is amazing. I'm amazed, you know, growing up as an unhappy kid in Brooklyn. I'm just amazed that all of these things have come to me, even having children. I was 64 before my first kid was born, and now he's 19. He's going to UC Santa Barbara, and I'm a little trepidatious about... Our government seems to enjoy wars. We have wars here in Syria and here in Afghanistan. And I'm very nervous about if they start a draft.
Yes, and I've got I started a little bit later as well. I've got a 7-year-old little girl and a 4-year-old little boy. So I feel the same way. We're going to come back to pick up that point in a moment and visit with Bernie Capello about Get Smart and more right after this on Everything Old is New Again.
In the past 3 weeks, Maxwell Schmart has personally eliminated no less than 11 of our most vicious, brutal, cold-blooded agents. Some of whom were my best, dearest, sweetest, kindest friends.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
There we go. This is Douglas Viviani from Everything Old is New Again. That, of course, is the classic theme to Get Smart. Hopefully one day our theme will be as recognizable as that one. 50 years later. And we're here with Bernie Coppell having a great time reminiscing and talking about comedy and the stars that he worked with and how he has influenced and affected all of us to this day in some way or another. It's really funny. We were talking about, Mr. Coppell, that you have a 19-year-old son. So this would be relatively recent. And I was saying before, I have a 7- and 4-year-old. I plan on showing them some shows that I enjoyed when I was growing up that are timeless, and you know, there's many of them, but one of them that that affected my personality, and one of them is Get Smart, the lighthearted, campy, fair, but good-natured attitude of that show. Just caught my fancy when I was younger. I was probably 8, 9, 10 when I was watching it, and I really carry a soft spot for that show in my heart to this day. I remember going to college and showing on reruns the show to people that had not been familiar with it, and that would be in the early 80s, so 20 years or 15 years that the show was on the air, and it shows a rebirth every time that it's shown, I think, in a block on Nick at Night or whatever it might be, it does get a new audience. So I just wanted to wonder, did you ever show this show or any others that from, let's say, the 60s and 70s that you were on that you respected to your son? And if so, what was his reaction to seeing you on these shows?
Oh, yeah. Now, I also have another kid, a 14-year-old little Joshy, who's insane about baseball. So he had to do something for class. So he did the scene from Schwartz's Island.
Okay.
So he certainly is aware of that. But the kids really only got excited when I did The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Right.
And little Joshy said, "Look, there's Daddy's on television." But I got to tell you this about Get Smart and the impact it has. And I use the present tense. When I did the Hawaii 5-0 about 5 weeks ago, I played. Now I'm usually been doing this comedic stuff because I'd recently done Gamer's Guide and Superstore and Kings of Comic Con, and all of a sudden it comes up, Mr. Coppell, would you like to do a Hawaii 5-0? And play a concentration camp survivor. I said, of course. I can do sort of a whole spectrum of things. So it was a very sad story that this man told about being at Auschwitz, and I did this with a Polish accent, and I was there with my brother and my sister, and we had a Unterscharführer, and this is the guy who was in charge of the barracks, a young guy, probably 19 years old, and one day he dragged the three of us out of our barracks, and he held a gun in my head, and he made me choose which one of them, my brother or my sister, would live. And if I didn't choose, all three of us would be shot. So I chose, and it's so poignant. So I'm in the makeup room in Hawaii at 7:15, and Chai McBride, you know, the very tall black actor, very substantial guy, he's marvelous on everything.
Right.
His call is not till later on in the day, but he said, "Mr. Coppell," I said, "please call me Bernie." He said, "Okay, Bernie." He said, "My call is much later in the day, but I got to tell you this. My family and I would sit around the television when I was a kid, and we would wait until you played Siegfried, and then we would laugh our faces off." And he came over and hugged me, and it was just so sweet that an actor that I respected and admired would take the time to come and tell me this. So I was so moved by that. And that's a very sweet thing that happens. But that doing that role, for whatever reason, is all over the world, especially in Australia and New Zealand. And people just love that character. And I got to tell you this. How did I get that? I was doing a play in a 158-seat theater, a theater in the round, playing a Russian immigrant going door-to-door in the freezing Buffalo winter, trying to sell a misnamed kitchen utensil called a fruit fluter. And he was having great difficulty with the language and knocks on the door. Anyway, there's a romance that happens with a girl and a brilliant comedic routine. The guy who owns the house is an eye doctor, and he gives me an eye exam, assuming I'm there as a patient. Well, Leonard Stern came to see that show. So one night, and we ran for a very long time, and immigrants and children of immigrants would come to see the show because it was so moving that a man who had difficulty with the language was trying to succeed. So Leonard Stern comes. Leonard Stern was the producer of Get Smart, and he was part of the triumvirate of David Susskind, Dan Melnick, and Leonard Stern. And it was Talent Associates. They made very prestigious things in the 50s and 50s and 60s. He comes backstage, very distinguished man, very tall, distinguished man, and he comes back looking for me in this little hole of a theater. He comes to me, he sees me, he extends his hand, shakes my hand, and he said, "We're going to work together." So I thought, right away, I thought this is some kind of Hollywood baloney. But within 3 years, he created my Siegfried character on Get Smart. So he hands that to me. Now, actors are so busy with auditioning. I didn't have to audition, which was a bit of heaven to me. At the same time, I get offered to do the Marlo Thomas show, That Girl. So I said, oh, no, do I have to make a choice? Do I go Get Smart or do I go do the Marlo Thomas show? I found a way to do both shows at the same time, which I did. I got very friendly with a guy who makes up the schedules. I said, okay, I'm doing the Get Smart on Tuesday and Thursday, and so you can use me the rest of the days. And I did that for 5 years. I never had a contract. And it worked out beautifully. 5 years on both shows at the same time. Sometimes both of them in the same week. So sometimes you get lucky. It was my schizophrenic period.
and you did a great job. Memorable stuff. I mean, that when people think of Get Smart, again, you were on 14 times. In the average, let's say, 3 times per season. So you just, your aura of the way it was presented and the fun that was had with that character it extends to this day and is so memorable. And we're having a great time with Bernie Capel. And thank you very much, so much, for taking the time to be with us. And we'll be right back after this. We'll continue our discussion with Bernie Capel. I'm going to go into the Love Boat and see what experiences you had there that you could share with Everything Old Is New Again. We'll be right back right after this.
You're listening to Everything Old Is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Come aboard. We're expecting you and love. Life's sweetest reward.
Welcome back to Everything Old Is New Again. Life's newest, sweetest reward, of course, is listening to Everything Old Is New Again on the weekends. Or if you miss us, you can go to everythingoldisnewagain.biz and you can listen to our old shows there. We are experiencing a bit of fun with Bernie Capel, who, of course, was the doctor on The Love Boat. And we're going to propose playing a little bit of a game here. I don't know how much of a game it is, but just something to have some fun with. I'm going to name a group of people who've appeared on The Love Boat. And then I'm going to ask, Bernie, if you could pick out any of these people from that group and tell a story, a memory, a good or a bad. You don't have to be bad, but, you know, anything that, that you'd like to point out or some experience you have with that individual. And if not, if you do, you get the point. If not, then I'll tell something about those individuals that I know on my side. And we'll just have some fun with it as a little bit of a crutch here to try to categorize like 250 episodes times probably five guest stars every episode. That's over 1,000 people. It's amazing the people, the actors that you had on that show. Let's just start with one group, a familiar group of Don Adams was on the show, Adam Arkin, who's in the new Get Smart movie. Dick Gauthier, unfortunately, just passed away, and he was on the show as well. So there's a Get Smart group. Any memories or experiences to share with us about their experience on the Love Boat or any one of them?
Well, I keep thinking about the Academy Award winners, and they were so impressive for many different reasons. We had Ray Milland. Now, Ray Milland, who won an Academy Award, do you know what he won an Academy Award for?
Was it the one with the eyes? I can't remember the name of the movie.
Lost Weekend. Lost Weekend, Academy Award winner. So he's sitting there, and I was lucky enough to be at his table. And he's a very reserved British actor, and he was bald at that time. And so he's being very reserved and telling these marvelous stories about his career and the leading ladies. He had scenes with Grace Kelly. Grace Kelly. It's my tongue. Couldn't see what my eye teeth were doing. Anyway, so American Night comes, and he goes bonkers about how they keep cooking turkeys with the breast up, and I cannot use the language that he used, but he said, "You people continue to ruin turkeys by deferring to the Norman Rockwell picture of having the breast up." He said, "Halfway through the cooking, you turn the breast down and you baste it, and you get a moist breast." And then he settled down. I said, "Wow, this guy must be an Academy Award winner just about cooking."
Right.
So Ray Milland was marvelous.
How about you've had icons like Milton Berle, Ray Bolger, Sid Caesar, Phil Silvers, Gene Kelly, Vincent Price. I mean, these are some names back in that day. It must have been a tremendous feeling to be having these people as a guest on your show.
Milton Berle, he considered himself the world's greatest authority on comedy, and certainly in his mind he was. When I was a kid, he was at the Strand or the Roxy or one of these places, and my family was standing in line outside of the lines going around the block to see Uncle Milty. So what happens? Uncle Milty comes out. He was so compulsive about acting and comedy, he started doing shtick to the people waiting in line to come in and see him. But Milton, during his show, talk about what he did on our show. He was sort of difficult because he would just want to tell everybody what to do. So, what is the name of that comedian? Martha Ray. She's doing the show, and her partner on the show is Milton Berle. So I was off in my dressing room studying my next scene, and I come in, and she's leaving, and she's crying. I said, "Maggie, what's the matter?" She said, I will not use a word she used, but here it is. She said, "I've been doing comedy for 60 years, and Milton is telling me how to be funny." He just liked to tell everybody what to do and how to do it. There was one time at the Friars Club in Beverly Hills, Jesse White, who was the Maytag repairman who never repaired anything, he was doing his act, and Milton, during his act, Milton is telling him, he said, "Stop, no, do it this way, do it that way. So he was really too difficult. was telling everybody what to do, but he was enormously funny and successful as a comedian.
Well, if I remember that episode, I'm sorry, if I remember that episode, that sort of was what the episode was about, was he, his wife was having problems with him because he could never be serious. Right, isn't that the episode?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have a good memory.
Yeah.
But Shirley Jones, an Academy Award winner for what show?
Oh, Global.
Elma Gantry.
Ah, see, I can't get these. You're good.
She played a young hooker, and she won an Academy Award. So we have scenes. We have a scene on Mykonos, a Greek island, and Shirley Jones from a small town in Pennsylvania had such a feeling of gratitude about what show business gave her. She had no ego. So we're sitting there with about 50 Greek extras, and above us are these fish that they caught drying in the sun. And all of a sudden, Shirley just starts laughing. I said, "Sure, what? You're an Academy Award winner. Come on, stop. Be professional here. Come on." So she said, I can't help it. She said, "We're sitting on this beautiful Greek island in a beautiful day. We have all of these lovely Greek people sitting here pretending to be patrons of the restaurant. And they're paying us."
Right.
God, they're paying us. She remains a very dear friend, and her husband just passed away, Marty Ingalls.
Right. Well, how about this group? It's a quirky group. You've had, believe it or not, you had four people that one point or other in their careers were ventriloquists. You had Jay Johnson from Soap. He was on this show. We enjoyed that. We had Paul Winchell. You had Don Knotts and Ted Knight. Believe it or not, all of them, one point or another in their careers, were ventriloquists. Did you have any experiences with any of them that could come to light here? Or no?
Not really. Not really. But I don't know if Don Knotts was ever a ventriloquist.
He was, believe it or not, in the service. He was in the ventriloquist in the service. Then he threw his dummy overboard at some point and gave up and said, "I jumped."
He was so brilliant. He was so. We watched reruns of Andy Griffith's show. And he, one of the last time that I saw him, we were doing, in the same theater that we did Neil Simon's Rumors, we were doing Marvin and Mel about two comedy writers. This is about the gray list that people are just dismissed because the perception is they're too old to be funny. So he came to see that, and he was a very humble, sweet, generous human being. I loved Don Knotts.
He's a favorite.
Maybe everybody with the name of Don was a wonderful person.
I see that. He's a favorite of our show. We've done some shows talking about him. And That Get Smart was a classic, and we're here with the classic himself, Bernie Capel, having a great time enjoying some reminiscence now of the Love Boat. We're going to talk about behind the scenes, or continue to talk about people behind the scenes on Everything Old Is New Again with Bernie Capel. Come on back right after this. Unmistakable theme song, huh? On Everything Old Is New Again. Just when you thought it was safe to go to the phone booth.
Message and data rates may apply.
This is Everything Old Is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard.
All right, come on board with Bernie Capel, Douglas Viviani behind the scenes. Little look at the Love Boat. We'll continue with Bernie Capel. This is a great time. Two more groups. I'm just curious. I'm just going to throw this at you. Before they were stars, if you will, there was a bunch here of Michael J. Fox, Tom Hanks, Jamie Lee Curtis, Billy Crystal, Martin Short. I mean, this is some group of people that they were just starting to hit their marks, I guess you could say, at that point on and were guests on The Love Boat. Any memories of any
of
those?
About Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, before he hit it big and became the best young actor in the universe, the man's movies have grossed at least $4 billion.
Right.
He plays a friend of Gopher, and he came on his own, "Hey, Gopher!" And it was like, that was Tom Hanks. So at the last thing we did for a TV Land, he is such a mensch, if anybody knows what that means. He was there when when the Love Boat people were being honored. And he came over on the microphone, and he congratulated us all by our names.
Wow.
And it's Bernie Coppell, and it's Gavin McLeod, and it's Ted Lange, and Fred Grandy, and Lon Tweez. I mean, what a guy to do this.
Yeah, real
fan. And he was wonderful. And Billy Crystal, Fred Grandy and I wrote a segment called The Kissing Bandit. And Billy Crystal played the Kissing Bandit. And just marvelous, just marvelous. And then he did. I think he hosted the Academy Awards. I think 8 times, almost as many as Bob Hope. And the guy just kept evolving and evolving and evolving. And I saw his show, his in-person show, and the guy's just dynamite.
Yeah, what was it called? 1,000 something, some numbers of Sundays and
700 Sundays that he had with his father.
There we go. Yeah, that was so moving. And funny. What a terrific work that was. I'll finish off with one quirky one here. I don't know if we're going to hit on any gold or not in some stories, but Batman from the 60s. You had Cesar Romero, who was the Joker. You had Julie Newmar, who was Catwoman. You had Adam West, who was Batman. I don't know if any of those left any impression upon you, but I'll throw it at you.
Well, Julie Newmar, this artist friend of mine, says, you know, Julie Newmar is out of proportion. I said, Julie Newmar, one of the most beautiful statuesque, how could she be out of proportion? Because her legs are actually longer than your standard legs. I said, is that a bad thing?
Right.
Julie Newmar, when she played, what is it, Stupefying Jones in Little Abner, just this very tall, perfect woman that you would just pass out looking for. I happen to enjoy a nice pair of legs, among other things. Julie Newmar, yeah.
She was perfect for that Batman role with that outfit, that was for sure. Anyway,
she would be perfect for everything.
I won't let my wife listen to this part of the show. Okay, we're taking a lot of your time here. I really appreciate it, Bernie. We're going to keep it as brief as I can. I don't take up too much of your time, but we're having a great time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, no, this is fun.
All right, go around in the corner. Let's see if this is going to be fun. I'm going to surprise you with a little something here. Let's see. It's kind of rare show that you are on. Let's just see. I'm going to start up right now. We get rolling.
Pants lightly, secret gym. Stands for justice, he has no fear. He's in the cold when trouble is near. Lance Link, you gotta come through. Everybody, it's counting on you.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. That's a theme to a show that if you remember that theme, you were up on a Saturday morning, I guess it would be somewhere around 1970-ish, and you were listening and watching apes basically act before you on Saturday morning. And that, of course, had a guest star there. Bernie Coppell was in that show, and he's with us today. So, Bernie, what did you, is that a blast from the past? Does anybody ever bring that show up to you?
They do. Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp. Now, what it was is things derived from other things. First of all, there is Agent of 007. So what was that?
The James Bond, of course, yep.
James Bond. And then it keeps evolving into Man from U.N.C.L.E., and then it was Get Smart. And the guys who wrote Get Smart, Mike Marmer and Stan Burns, I love these guys. They were both Marines. They said, let's do it with chimps. And anyway, what the heck was that? So we did it with chimps.
I played
the Baron. And
Baron von Butcher, if I remember,
Baron
right?
Baron von Butcher.
You played him like Siegfried in some ways,
yeah,
no?
Yeah, exactly. And it was, you could say it was challenging to, because monkeys can't speak English. You have to understand that.
you haven't met my partner, David Cohen, but we'll go.
Oh, you know. David is sort of doing the pantomime. He's brilliant on his show. It's a pantomime, but this is radio. Anyway. we had to time our words in the script according to the mouth movements of the chimpanzees. So how did they get the chimpanzees to make their mouths go like they were speaking? Some liked chewing gum. Some liked peanut butter. So we had... I mean, this is fun. It was goofy. We put the words into the movement of their mouths. And there was one, it seemed kind of difficult, where I had the monkey kept going, om, 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 and then there was a big thing. It looked like a yawn. It was like, so I said, I think I have a way to do this. I said, you will not ever speak to me again in that tone of voice. You understand what I'm saying? So it was goofy. But
so it was filmed, and then you went to the studio, I guess, afterwards with a script and tried to match what they filmed? Is that or
exactly, okay. Yeah. We never really actually met the chimpanzees, which is just as well because...
Right.
Sometimes they can get a little upset.
Yes.
I remember one bit. Who was the guy in Favorite Martian?
Bill Bixby or
no, the other one.
I forget his name off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't. But it bit his face.
Oh wow!
It bit his face. Yeah. So that was not good.
Eek. And you also played just to roll the dice. There you go. You got your own animal affairs going on there.
No, this is actually me imitating a dog.
Well, you are a man of many accents, so we you're perfecting the dog accent. You also, well, that sounds like Credo or Wang Fu, if you remember those characters. But
What else was I in that? I was also Credo, who was the chauffeur.
Right.
And Joni Gerber played all the women.
Right.
The good women, the bad women.
Mata Hari and all of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, we're out of time this week with Bernie Capel. However, we have the privilege of having Mr. Capel with us again next week on Everything Old is New Again. We're going to explore Lancelot Link, The Love Boat, and maybe some other secrets of life we will see. Having a great time with Bernie Capel on Everything Old is New Again. If you're enjoying yourself and having a good time, you want to send us a note, please feel free to do so at everythingoldisnewagain.biz. If you go to that website, you'll see where we've got a link to our old shows and also a link to communicate with us. Please do so. We will respond to every single communication. Or you could try oldnewagain@AOL.com. That's oldnewagain@AOL.com. Let's go out with the theme to Lancelot Link, since we'll pick up our interview with Bernie Capel next week, talking about none other than Lancelot Link, Secret
Lancelot
Chimp.
Link, Secret Chimp.
Everything Old is New Again.
Trouble is near, Lance Lee.